Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. I'm glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. You're listening to Season 1, Episode 4 of Let's Talk Hemp and the 422. I'm your co-host, Morris Beagle, hanging out with my partner in hemp spirit, Rick Trojan. And here at the 422, every day is Earth Day. Today's guest is Tom Dermody, Executive Director from the Industrial Hemp Research Foundation, and he'll be talking with us about an upcoming event they are hosting on February 24th in Denver called Organic Hemp Innovation. Before we get into that, we're going to catch up on a few things. I just got back from Mexico, hanging out, enjoying some Caribbean sea and beach action around the Cancun and Tulum areas, and also getting to hang out with the folks from Heaven Grown, who build sustainably using both hempcrete and cococrete, which is coconut fiber mixed with lime. But before I get into the Mexico getaway, let's catch up with Rick, who has been in Iowa, via Arizona, via Colorado, via Louisiana. And what is up, Rick?
Thank you, Morris. Can you believe it's episode 4? That was like 6 more than I thought we'd ever have. So that's fantastic. So here we are. I am actually sitting on the hemp road trip bus, and there was a picture of my studio that we'll put up on our social media. It's fantastic, state of the art, as you will see. But we are having an amazing impact here in Iowa. We've spoken with the majority and minority leaders of both the Senate and the House today. They have a bill here to make industrial hemp legal for cultivation in the state of Iowa. As it would turn out, Senator Grassley on the federal level was here today, who we've been trying desperately to get a hold of. And as serendipity would have it, he was in the rotunda as we were passing by. Unfortunately, I was able to get near him, but I was able to get like a snapshot from like before, but it was like mostly my big mug and like his small blurry face in the background. But which I guess going to blur either way. I guess when you get so old, eventually it blurs out. I have no idea. I'm never going to get that old. But at any rate, it was a great day in Iowa, but we had, more importantly, we had a fantastic weekend in Arizona. The Hemp Industries Association, we had a big board retreat this weekend and came up with a new mission, a whole bunch of new stuff, which you'll be hearing about soon. Can't share it with you today, but it's a lot of very, very exciting stuff. Super excited for what we're doing for the industry, for what we've been doing, what we're going to be doing for our membership. There's two lawsuits against the DEA that we are focused on. Both have mediation or something monumental coming up in February. So one's the contempt court case from 2003, essentially saying the DEA was found in the wrong back then, and they refused to accept that judgment. And the second one is for the DEA overstepping their legal bounds and essentially creating a new schedule of drug calling marijuana extracts. And the HIA sued them for that, and we are in mediation with that as well. So, but in either event, the HIA is a new brand, new board, new executive director with Colleen Kihei, and she's fantastic. And I'm super excited after this weekend to share with you guys when I can all the exciting things that are going to come up with HIA. Was going to be attending, of course, the NoCo Hemp Expo, because what hemp organization can't be there? So they will be there for sure.
Next up, we've got Tom Dermody, Executive Director from the Industrial Hemp Research Foundation, who are putting on an event on February 24th in Denver called Organic Hemp Innovations. Welcome to Let's Talk Hemp in the 422, Tom. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine, Morris. And as always, thanks, for what you're doing and the opportunity to talk about our upcoming event.
Can I call you TD? Because the Patriots are about to score some TDs in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, just a quick shout out to all my haters out there. Go Pats this weekend. Looking forward to actually getting my second thumb added to my left hand.
Awesome. Well, here's the beauty of what we do is we can edit all that out. So awesome. So Tom, tell us about what the Industrial Hemp Research Foundation is doing. What's this organic seminar all about?
Well, thanks, Rick. So as some folks know, the Industrial Hemp Research Foundation is dedicated to supporting industrial hemp research programs and institutions of higher education within the United States. This event centers around organic production, processing, and marketing of industrial hemp products. In the absence of federal guidelines on herbicide pesticide usage, organic producers or hemp producers at large follow organic practice and in some cases procure organic certification in their grows. And this event is geared towards business professionals as well as just hemp enthusiasts to learn about what it takes to adhere to organic practice and also network with some of the leading entities that are offering assistance in developing organic practices, primarily here in Colorado. I also think this is a great segue into what Morris and the NOCO team are doing via the Ag Symposium this year at the NOCO Hemp Expo. So we're certain, and I would like to say, you know, as always, Morris, we appreciate the support of WFAVA and NOCO, and we look forward to hosting you guys at the upcoming event. I'd also like to shout out to all of our sponsors, including Cherry Green Organics and Lilu's Garden, for coming in as our title sponsor group.
Tell us a little about what is the Industrial Hemp Research Foundation? What do you guys do, and what are your current projects? Are you guys actually doing real projects now? Like, what's happening with the foundation and with actual research here in America?
Sure. So the foundation was incorporated to support industrial hemp research programs at institutions of higher education. In the absence of state and federal financing, we have helped bridge the gap from a programming, a financial, and a material support section to help drive third-party validation of what hemp can do for all blocks of U.S. consumers, retailers. You name it. There's a place where hemp can be inserted into your lives, and institutions remain some of the most trusted bodies in this country, and we see them as the means to help expedite the process of hemp being a normalized agricultural commodity here in the States. In Colorado, give you a snapshot of some of the projects that we're working on. Probably our most well-known project at the moment is the CBDRX SOMA 1 project, which looks at the preclinical observations of symptoms that are considered to contribute towards PTSD. And that helps align eventually what could be clinical opportunities to alleviate PTSD via hemp-acquired CBD-rich product.
In layman's terms, just real quick, in layman's terms, essentially what you're saying is that they are setting the stage for an actual cannabinoid study for post-traumatic stress disorder.
And one of the interesting things, no clinical opportunity is going to let us line up biotelemetry systems or in vitro readings of the physiological factors that contribute to PTSD without having this fundamental research performed first. Also, our goal is to help demonstrate that we should be investigating whole plant extracts that are cannabidiol rich as a means to alleviate PTSD from those that suffer from that condition. Beyond that, another project in Colorado that is coming into fruition and we'll see more of throughout the year is a technical training program that we are supporting at Northeastern Junior College, where in 2019 and beyond, participating students, regardless of age, nationality, et cetera, will actually be able to go to a school and get the hard technical skills to grow, process, and market industrial hemp at scale. And we're working in conjunction with international and domestic partners to help service that curriculum development. Outside the state of Colorado, we're working to develop programming guidelines in the emerging markets of California, Maine, New York, and North Carolina specifically. And keep a close lookout, because there is going to be a very exciting announcement about a project that I can't tell you about tonight concerning a well-known product manufacturer based here in Colorado that has to do with bioavailability markers and advanced carrier systems that are readily available in the market at the moment.
You guys got a lot of cool stuff going on. Thanks for all you're doing.
Oh, of course. And I'd like to take the second just to thank you, Morris, and for you being a supporting member of the IHRF, and Rick, I think it's worth disclosing that you are the vice president of the foundation. So what the support that you bring is greatly appreciated in your day-to-day with the foundation, really across the country, in conjunction with the Hemp Road Trip. And for our listeners, members that are out there, thank you for your continued support, and we look forward to doing right by you and the industry at large throughout this year and moving forward.
Let's jump back to the event real quick. Where can people get tickets and find out more information?
Well, that's a great question. And the easiest way, as always, is to find us on Facebook at the Industrial Hemp Research Foundation, click on events, and our event page is brimming with information. The most up-to-date information can be found in the flyer, which is under the About the Event section, and that's updated regularly. We really have some tremendous speakers coming in from around the country to give our attendees really a great training session on what it takes to be an organic producer in the industrial hemp sector now and into the future. And this is really one of the things that I feel passionately about. You know, some of you guys know, and for your listeners, I previously represented organic producers via the Northeast Organic Food Association in conjunction with the National Family Farm Coalition. And I really think that hemp has its best opportunity to be a value-added commodity by staying in the organic sector long-term.
Well, and I think the reality is consumers of industrial hemp, if you are aware enough to learn about industrial hemp and the benefits, whether it's textile or food-based or dietary supplements, those consumers are a lot more educated and are a lot more discerning on their purchasing, which means they want the best and the healthiest, which means organic, right? So organic practices, GMP practices are all very important in this industry.
Absolutely. And I think one of the interesting pieces about organic in hemp at the moment is looking at the flexibility that the USDA is offering in the organic certification program. You know, not to say that the USDA is a perfect body, but the flexibility that they've offered to the hemp industry as part of the USDA certified organic program cannot be understated. It's really an option to help maintain price stability and the marketability of these products. And ultimately, at the moment, most products that consumers are handling are for consumption purposes, and we need to be sensitive to offering premium products that forego herbicide pesticide usage. And hemp as a plant is an incredible bioaccumulator, and we need to be sensitive to what short and or long-term use of herbicide pesticides could do to adulterate or delineate the tremendous potential of hemp food products, whether they're hemp seed or products containing large amounts of cannabinoids, can do for our bodies throughout our lives, both from a preventative and or a short-term ailment standpoint.
Well, and that's one thing we noticed here this week on the road trip. We're here in Iowa, and I talked to the minority and the majority speakers of the House and the Senate. A lot of them are farmers, and essentially their first question was, what's our input? And when I told them it was no herbicides or pesticides, they honestly didn't understand what I was saying. Like, it took a while for them, like, no, you don't need those. They didn't even comprehend what that was, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. And just a quick shout out, you know, I know we're talking about the event, but one thing that the foundation is really interested in finding partners on is, at the moment, the USDA has a current granting opportunity through their Organics Transitions Program. And recently I was able to meet with the program manager for that particular grant, and they are really excited to see the possibility of hemp being involved in the Organics Transition Program this year. And for the listeners out there, if you're at all interested in how to become involved in the ORG program, please feel free to reach out to the foundation via our website, and we'd be happy to see how we can assist in your request.
And I'm sure you'll be discussing that at the event in February, right?
Yes, I'll be doing a short plug. It's not part of the present programming, but during the initial announcements, I will be doing a 2-3 minute shout out on what this grant opportunity looks like for attendees that may be interested in partnering with us to file an application.
Anything else you'd like to share?
As it relates to the event, just really quickly, in terms of, you know, what is the scope? We are bringing in, we'll generally cover the organic certification program, legal challenges surrounding hemp producers from the beginning of the Farm Bill provisions. Then we're going to have Sam Welsh from OneCert, who is one of the certifying agencies for the USDA, offering certification to the hemp industry. Then we'll break out into a series of panel discussions centering around producers, processors and manufacturers of finished products. And then we'll wrap it up with roughly a 2-hour networking event. And as part of the day, for those who are looking to get continuing education legal credits, we do have that option available as well. And we encourage folks that want to continue their legal education as it relates to organic law and policy to sign up for that special option so that you can be prepared and feel confident in the information that you're relaying to your potential client base. You know, as always, we are deeply grateful for the support that our membership has bestowed on us in the past and recently, and we look forward to continuing to do the great work of the IJRF. Thank you specifically for the work that you two do to support the IJRF, on a day-to-day basis. I know you guys have really been champions of ours, really, since the beginning, even before my time, which seems like a lot longer than it's been at this point. So thanks, guys, again, for having me. And feel free to reach out to the IJRF with any questions concerning hemp research, and we look forward to seeing you both participate at our February 24th event, and I hope that your listeners choose to attend as well. The last day for early bird tickets is tomorrow, January 31st, and tickets will be available up until the event and at the door, so we hope to see you soon. I hope you guys have a hemptastic day and evening. We'll talk soon.
Which is actually, by the way, today. So this is going to air when the last day you can buy tickets is today. And Tom, thank you for coming on board. We obviously love what the Industrial Hemp Research Foundation is doing. Often we cannot get financing domestically for research of industrial cannabis, and the research foundation fills that void. So we support you because we believe in you, and we support what the foundation stands for. And we will see you at the NoCo Festival here, and appreciate what you're doing. And everyone, sign up with the Industrial Hemp Research Foundation online for the Organic Hemp Seminar.
All right, we'll be seeing you around soon. Take care, Tom.
Thanks.
Thanks, brother.
Bye.
Bye.
That's a wrap.
How was Viva la Mexico, my friend?
Mexico was just absolutely fabulous. 6 days in Mexico.
Fantastico? Fantastico.
Fantastico. Yeah.
Fantastico a la playa, al mar, a la comida, el todo.
Yeah, I stayed for 6 days in my Spanish speaking abilities are still not very good at all. I can say cerveza.
You could just say no bueno. You can say cerveza. Can you say bathroom?
Bathroom.
No. God damn it. You never had to say bath. For real, man. Come on. Like, here's in every country. Hello. Goodbye. Thank you. Bathroom. Give me a goddamn beer. And that's mainly it. Like, I need. Bathroom's a pretty big one, other than just. I mean, you grab yourself and jump around, which is, like, universal, I think. But, like, in Spanish, or in some country, that actually might mean something different, which is probably not appropriate.
Well, there was bathrooms all over the resort that we were staying at. And when we actually went down to Tulum and hung out with the Heaven's Grown folks and checked out the building structures and everything, it was easy to find the bathrooms. It was like you look for the door that's got like a stick figure on it, and that's usually where I walked, and I didn't have a problem this trip, so I didn't have to actually know how to say bathroom.
Well, that's good. Well, more importantly, all joking aside, more importantly, what this guy is doing, Heaven's Grow is doing there outside of Tulum, is absolutely amazing. So you told me a bit about it before you went on the trip. You got to go see it, check it out. Tell us about it. It sounds phenomenal.
So there's a couple guys, Steven and Abraham, and they've been working. They actually worked with several different people. They've worked with the Hemp Technologies folks, Dion and Joey and Andrea. They've gone to the Hemp Buildings conference that they did in Canada, the big one, the global one with Steve Allen. You know, they've studied a lot of this, and they've been working with not only hempcrete, but cocoa fiber or coconut fiber to create cocoacrete. You know, getting hemp into Mexico, it's about $1,000 a ton. So you're looking at 50 cents a pound. And in comparison to what they're paying for really fine shredded coconut fiber that they can mix with lime, and lime is prevalent all over that area.
Would they mix the lime and the coconut separate than the hemp and the coconut? And would they put those both in the same wall or separate walls?
Well, they actually mix some all together. and they've come up with their own formulas. And anyway, they built multiple things out there, multiple structures. They're building a hostel right now. There's one guy that's built out a bar. He built a house, and he's building several like outbuildings. And the house that they built has got hempcrete, it's got cocoacrete, it's got bamboo, and it's got a couple of different types of wood. It's the tallest natural fiber building structure on the continent. And it's like there's one in France, it's like 7 stories, and this one in Tulum is like 4.5 stories. It was super cool. He climbed up to the top.
Well, dude, let's do this. Let's tell. So the one in France is 7 stories?
Yeah.
And the one here is 4.5?
Something like that.
So let's tell 3, you know what? Let's tell 4 stories. And then our stories will be 8 stories, and there will be 7 stories, and we'll win.
That sounds like a good idea.
We'll just tell. This is one story. I'll tell 2 this week, and you tell 1 more, and we're good.
Okay.
It'll be the most stories of all. But
here's another story, though. And this goes back to these Heaven Groans guys, Stephen and Abraham. So Stephen brings out a couple of shoes that they're working on, hemp shoes, that they're going to be producing in Mexico. They're actually prototyping them out in Colombia. They're kind of work shoeish type. Well, one's more of a tennis shoey type thing, and the other one was a work booty thing. But the soles of the shoes are made of hemp rubber.
Right.
And then they've got a couple of different vegan leather blends. One is like with mushroom.
Here's the thing, dude. So I have hemp shoes that have organic rubber on the bottom. And here's they're awesome shoes. I've got great compliments on them. But the organic rubber sucks walking around. If there's any ice or anything slick, I'm on my ass pretty much straight away. So that's an issue.
It's not an issue in Mexico. Because
you shouldn't even be wearing shoes. You should be wearing your feet.
There's not a lot of
my
ice.
My feet aren't made of
hemp.
My feet are made of flesh. What? What?
But I said there's not a lot of ice in Mexico by the beach.
Yeah, but there's also like, well, okay, let's say someone spills water or you're walking by a pool. All right, there's not a lot of pools in Mexico because they live in the ocean. But like, all right. All right. In this drug. That sounds amazing, man. Tell me more.
Anyway, they're prototyping out several different hemp shoes, which are really cool. And I think No, they've only had a couple of different prototypes.
Man, that sounds amazing. Are they coming to NoCo?
Of course they're going to be at NoCo. We've got a whole international section, Global Hemp Village. They'll be at NoCo.
Awesome. And I think we have people coming last year from Poland. We had Nepal. We had all sorts of stuff. So it's going to be great to have someone else from, we had Canada, of course, last year, but having someone else from the south of North America would be great. So we'll have the entire NAFTA region represented at NoCo. So it's NAFTA-NoCo, if you will.
NoCo-NAFTA, NAFTA-NoCo.
Yeah, which no one will ever do, so let's not do that for sure. That's awesome, dude. That sounds amazing. Those guys sound amazing, actually.
Yeah, they've got some really cool stuff going on in Mexico.
Coconut and hemp in the same wall? And
not in all of them, but they ran out of hemp and they had to start using the cocoa fiber. Yeah, and they found it basically works. They say that comparatively that it's very comparable as far as strength and maybe even stronger because the fibers are longer. And
would the cocoa be load bearing then?
Correct.
Interesting. Obviously, I have a lot to learn on the cocoa side of things, but I think it's super interesting to see. What I think is fascinating is that local economies adapt hemp into the hemp along with whatever the local resource is, right? In this case, it's coconuts, right? Coconut fiber. They still use the local lime, right? And they use lime for a lot of reasons, obviously to give it structure, to give it form, but also the anti-fiber or anti-fire, and those sorts of items, but have coconut and hemp in the same wall. But to have those thermodynamic properties combined would be super interesting in research. I think it'd be good for people to research coconut versus hemp as a wall structure.
I think that they're looking to have some universities down there do some of those comparisons.
Do you know what university?
I'm not sure. But we'll get Stephen or Abraham on the show for sure.
Yeah, we'll get him on the show for sure.
And definitely going to go back down there. There's going to be opportunities to do some cool things in Mexico, that depending on how things go with, they got medical cannabis is legal there. They're pushing for recreational. You've got the drug cartels. You've got the corrupt government. And there's kind of this anti-hemp movement thing there. But I think that there's opportunity with the way legal. Evidently, the cartels are just against it. So if they say, don't be growing hemp around here, otherwise we're going to fucking kill you, is probably something that you're going to listen to. But maybe there's opportunity.
That's fucking crazy. I mean, I get it, but that's fucking crazy. That's what I'm saying. They don't even want to suck up their crops, so they're literally threatening hemp growers. But the next legislator that listens to this, if you're freaked out that cannabis is going to create drug cartels in your area, listen to this shit. Listen to one thing we do, and it's this. The cartels are killing people in Mexico for growing hemp. So what should I tell you? If you want to stop drugs, grow hemp. Boom. If you're that concerned with it, stop being dumb. Stop being dumb.
I think you got to go work with the cartels and take all of the stocks from the cannabis that they're growing. And, you know, all they're doing is taking that stuff and burning it. So why don't you just go work a deal with them to take all that crap off their hands and then start processing it. And then it's a win-win.
I came up with an even better idea that I can't divulge on radio because it's honestly fucking awesome. It's probably one of my best ideas of the day. And it's...
At least of the last 5 minutes.
No, of the day. I came up with it like hours ago. So it's a good one. Anyway, it's a really, really good idea, and it just has to do with the inside of and the outside of the stock. It's just a stock fund, and not like the money market. You know what I mean? Like the green market, the green bean stock.
I don't get it. Maybe because you're stuttering.
What else we gotta do, man? Stuttering. What? Bro, if you become stuttering, you ain't seen nothing yet. Maybe you just ain't done nothing yet. Come on. That's actually Marky Mark. I just Marky Marked the end of it for no reason. Actually, that was pretty badass, but I just did that for no reason.
Are you a Mark Wahlberg fan?
No, but I started out with, who sings that? You ain't seen nothing yet. The baby. You just ain't seen nothing. Who sings that?
I should know that. I do know that, but I
you should.
Can't think.
When you know that, you should dub yourself in to fucking answer that like you fucking know your shit, because you look like a badass. And dub this out because they're going to need you if I ever suggest that to you. But the fact that I said the Marky Mark, come on, feel it. I'm definitely not a Marky Mark fan, but why would you not be? Because I am.
Hey, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Oh, shit.
All right, let's wrap her up.
Yeah, we're good. We already wrapped, I think. We're good.
All right, man.
Thanks, boys. Good wrap.
Thanks.
Great. Welcome back from Mexico. Look forward to seeing you here in a couple of days.
Sounds good. Enjoy Iowa and have a safe trip back.